Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Jacob and Aki. How are you two doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
The way that plays out is it sounds like Jacob's miserable, and that's why Aki is happy.
I mean it doesn't fucking hurt.
We've all had a stomach bug here, so everybody in the house has been sick now.
Does that mean you've been in the bathroom on the toilet for once in your life?
Just once. He's only been on the toilet once in his life, yes.
And he's still there.
Yeah.
Live from my bathroom.
We pooping. Live. Jacob, what are you reviewing tonight? This will be marked under shocking content on YouTube. How funny would it be if
your thoughts of this?
How funny would it be if an episode with a Peppa Pig review ends up being like adults only on YouTube? How great would that be? I don't think Outright would appreciate that one.
Yeah, no, I think you'd have to explain that to them.
I think they barely tolerate us as it is with the profanity we use on the show and the fact that we still cover their games, but they're nice enough to let us continue covering them, so we're gonna...
I was gonna say, I think Stevie over at Outright likes us, and also, you know, I think we're, like, one of the few adult, you know, actually, like, adult-oriented, yeah.
Yeah. Power Rangers reunion movie in April? Did you hear about that?
Did you see that?
No, I didn't. What's going on with it?
Oh my gosh. So, the Blue Ranger and the Black Ranger, so Billy and Zach, I think?
Yeah.
I only tuned in when the White Ranger came in. The Green Ranger, but then the White Ranger, but then after, whatever.
Yeah, anyway. The Best Ranger, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, so it turns out that Trini got killed.
Yes.
Like, no. I mean, we know in real life, but in the movie, she gets killed. And I guess they recruit her daughter. Interesting. And they get like two other Rangers to help out, and Rita Repulsa also has like a new face because the actress passed away like a few years ago.
Lloyd says Pink Ranger asking for Aki.
Yeah, the
it's not Amy Jo Johnson, but
she still looks almost exactly the same, motherfuckers,
because maybe she wants to do other things.
They offered to her. I don't think they offered her enough, though. I think she's like,
I was gonna say, because she does other stuff. Like, she was on Flashpoint for years.
But she makes the perfect Pink Ranger.
All right, so just because she's your wet dream doesn't mean that she has to star in this. So you're like, yes, she does.
I didn't want to voice that opinion, but yeah,
we know the truth. Anyway,
so like, the two of them die, or like she dies, and like Billy and Zach, like, they get the daughter, and with the help of a few other Rangers, they go to take on Rita, and it just, like, it looks phenomenal. And the best part is that the movie comes out on 4/19, so looks like I've got my 4/20 plans already set.
Nice. You know what else is on 4/20? This show.
Oh, I was about to say, like, I don't know where this conversation is about to go, but
so I expect you to be fully fucked up for that episode.
Let's see.
Is it going to be a Thursday?
It is a Thursday.
Told you.
How can I?
I'll go get alcohol for it.
Yeah.
How can I request off from work without making it too obvious?
Request 3 days in a row, then it doesn't look too obvious.
I think what I'm going to have to do is request off Thursday and Friday of that week.
Then it looks like you're just going to get so unbelievably wrecked. You need the full weekend to recover.
You know what? I got nothing. That's what I'm going to have to do.
Ghetto Philosopher says that she had a scheduling issue. That's why she's not in the movie, Pink Ranger.
Wow.
So there you
that
go.
That sticks.
But anyway, you know what is happening? We're getting new games in Game Pass.
Ooh.
Yeah, did you hear about that?
No. I mean, we talk about it every single week. So
yeah, we do. So I figure why not talk about it again. This week, we got Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom.
Cool.
Next
Still week, didn't play the first one.
Next week, we are getting MLB The Show 23 on the 28th.
By the way, did you request that for this year or no?
I don't know who to contact, so no.
Well, write to everybody. Write to the internet. I don't know.
And then March 30th, we're getting Infinite Guitars.
What's that?
It's a guitar game.
Shut up. You could have gone, like, does it require, like, you know, a Rock Band controller? Is it a platformer? Like, what is it?
I don't know. You told me to shut up.
All right, cool. Episode over. We're done. Infinite
God,
guitars.
You two just go get a room, for fuck's sake.
Oh, well, we've yeah, done that before.
Ideally, if we got a room, that is what we would be doing.
Yeah, good stuff.
Fight next with metal-crushing rock and infinite guitars, a genre-melting rhythm RPG featuring vibrant anime-inspired art and a blazing original soundtrack. Battle against war machines with electrifying guitar solos and save the planet. This actually looks pretty dope.
I was going to say, it definitely can't be a rhythm game because no one sells instruments.
No, I think you have to, I think it's, okay, well, we got a thunderstorm going, so my internet may crap out.
Cool.
It looks like you hit, like, the X, Y, and A buttons to do stuff, so.
That's cool.
Yeah, this looks pretty dope.
Well, we'll find out more about it next week, I guess.
I mean, it's not already out, is it?
No, March 30th.
No. I meant like out as in like,
no,
you know, already for sale, not like on Game Pass.
No, it's debuting on Game Pass.
Okay.
It's launching straight to Game Pass.
I just can't wait until May.
All three of these new additions are direct to Game Pass launches.
Is it so you can bust out your NSYNC record collection, Aki?
I do not have it's gonna any be NSYNC May. Records, actually.
Yeah. Oh, you have them on CD. Gotcha.
No. I have a Backstreet Boys CD, though. Just one, but...
Why?
That My one. Fire. And it's because I liked the songs on that, on their first CD.
But, you know, you like them with their freshman album, but, you know, you didn't like the sophomore sound.
Yeah, well, after I listened to their first CD, I didn't like them anymore after that, because I fell into a different musical grouping at that point.
I want it that way. Tell me why.
Heavier metal and stuff and J-rock and things. So.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Y'all don't
tell me why.
Here. I never want to hear you say I want it that way. God, you're all terrible.
Yes, we all are. Yes, I agree. All three of us are
garbage. I get the idea that NSYNC was the other band, but we're supposed to be NSYNC too.
Well, hey, I was
for Discord. We were damn close. For Discord, oh my god, that is pretty solid actually for Discord. So, it's not all games joining Game Pass. There are games leaving Game Pass on the first.
Wait, hold on. I still had a question for the previous thing. So, Aki, after you got out of Backstreet Boys, what was the next musical grouping? I gotta know. I just gotta.
I went for Malice Mizer and Miyavi, which are one's J-rock and one's J-pop.
Okay, so you became a hipster. All right, gotcha.
I don't know if I would qualify that as a hipster.
You're a hipster.
No, I'm pretty sure I was classified as a weeb back then. But.
Anyway, games leaving Game Pass, there are a few. There's actually seven leaving, including a few that have been there for quite some time. We're losing Double Dragon Neon.
Oof. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cluster Surprising. Truck.
Okay,
that's like one of the really oldest good. Games that's been on Game Pass.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And it's apparently really good, too.
It is. It's a great game. MLB The Show 22, we knew that one was leaving because 23 is joining. Power yeah. Rangers Battle for the Grid.
I heard that was good. So.
Yeah. yeah, that is a shame. But, you know, hopefully they'll be coming out with a sequel. Maybe. That's what I'm hoping for, anyway.
Kraken Academy is leaving.
Guys, go play that. You can beat it in, like, a couple days. You have time.
What is it?
A couple of days?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I've got kids. I do not have a couple of days.
It's fair.
Yes, you do.
No, I really don't.
Yeah,
he's dying tomorrow. Go figure.
Well, if you just stay up all night, you can easily beat it in a night, too. But I wouldn't suggest
that. I have work tomorrow.
if you're going to die tomorrow, the hell with
it. Yeah,
her.
Just call off if you're dying.
Wait, why am I dying tomorrow?
You said you only have a few days. You said you don't yeah. have a few days, so I figured yeah, that meant no. you're dying.
No, I have kids. Like I
they're going
I
to murder you. I get it. Yeah.
Kraken Academy, I reviewed on here, actually. It's a point-and-click game that has a lot of going back in time over and over and over.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick game. If you have two empty days, like over a weekend, you could easily beat this game.
Nice.
Easy.
Anyway, A Memoir Blue is leaving.
That's another good one. Another Walking Slim / point-and-click.
I hear that one's a quick one, too, so I might have to check that one out before it's gone. Oh, yeah,
you can beat that in just a few hours.
Nice. And then,
like 4 or 5 hours, you got that done.
Last one leaving is Chinatown Detective Agency.
I haven't actually played that yet.
I think I did. I don't... I
know someone on here reviewed it. It wasn't me, though.
Yeah, I think that's an old one.
Yeah, it was a year or two ago.
It came out back in April
of this year.
Oh no, last year. Microsoft went into the future, released it, and then sent a Terminator back to cancel it from being on Game Pass. That's how it works.
Nice.
I could believe that.
No, technology's crazy, man.
No, it was April of 2022.
Anyway, let's keep the bad news rolling. There's some server shutdowns that are coming up. Battlefield 1943, Bad Company, and Bad Company 2 are all shutting or all getting delisted on April 28th.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bad Company games were amazing.
And the online services for Bad Company 1 and 2 will end in December, on December 8th.
Well, wait, what about Battlefield 1943?
I didn't hear anything about the online servers.
I thought that was ending as well.
I didn't see when I looked. I was kind of wondering about that one. I know initially they said Mirror's Edge was going to be delisted as well, but they changed course on that, and that's staying.
Right.
Why would that even get delisted?
I don't know.
Mirror's Edge is an online thing.
Well, my guess is that they meant like they were going to shut down the server on it because the server just keeps track of time trial stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was already shut down, though.
I don't know. Okay. Online services, yeah, True Achievement says 1943 gets its server also shut down on December 8th.
All right. So all three of them shut down in December. And then servers for Syndicate are going to be shutting down June 15th.
That Syndicate's already delisted, so yeah. Bother trying to find it.
You could get a disc.
You're right. But with Battlefield, I will say this. Battlefield 1943 looks like the quickest of the completions. I will warn you, I hopped into that game like years ago, and then I hopped in last night. And I swear to God, that was like a 30-minute online game. And that was like, I hated that so much. But I think it would be like, I honestly think it would be the quickest of all the completions.
I'm not going to try for any of them.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care about completions.
I mean, okay. I mean,
I don't think I've ever even played Bad Company 1 or 2.
I played Bad Company 1. I was not thrilled with it because the tank was able to like nail me from halfway across the map. I don't know. 1943 really just doesn't sound that like it's
dropping that bad.
Long ass multiplayer maps.
Well, if I were to try getting one of those games, I could easily do it now thanks to 500 biddies coming from Victor. Pat, thank you so much for the biddies. Love having you here. Always good seeing you in chat.
I was going to say Battlefield Bad Company 2 is regularly on sale. They never have Bad Company 1 on sale. And 1943, I mean, you could get that on sale. It's also in a multi-pack with Battlefield 4, I think. Like, and also I know that there's codes abound online for
no,
it. So
no code.
I'm just saying. Like, but anyway, it's available through online retailers as well.
Legit retailers. Look for the legit ones.
I did say
weird.
Oh my god.
I'm just saying to look for the legit ones.
Yes.
You can't buy Syndicate anymore, but you can buy its DLC.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's weird.
I don't know. A lot of games get pulled, but the DLC stays up.
Yeah.
FIFA 21 is pulled, but you could still buy the fucking FIFA points for it.
Dude, you can still buy FIFA. I think it's like FIFA Street for Xbox 360. Like, it got released like ages, like well over 10 years ago. It's still on the Xbox 360 store. I keep meaning to buy it before somebody gets wise and gets rid of it.
Nice.
See, there's only one piece of DLC I really, really want, but I can't get a hold of it because it was delisted like a decade ago.
What do you want?
There's a Zoids game, and it had DLC. Before I even owned the game, it had long since been
delisted. Was it Zoids Unleashed? That's an Atlas game, isn't it?
I have no idea. Give me a second. I'll look on my...
I was going to say,
my
360 DLC that I wish I could still get is the Knives DLC for Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm. Well, at least that got re-released.
Well, the game did, but yeah. I mean, the DLC didn't.
Yeah, but the game got re-released, so you could still play the content. It's still...
Well, sure, but, you know.
I can't get my completion. I'm sad I can't get the 3 Rock Band songs I don't own.
Well, that's your own fault, though. Yeah. I mean, you're the one who was like, Naked Brothers Band. I don't want to buy a Nickelodeon thing.
The worst part is they were only $1 at the time.
Eesh.
Yeah. Fuck each. And I was like, I'm not going to buy them. I don't care about Naked Brothers Band. And then after so much time and they stopped releasing songs, I was like, I'm going to collect everything. Oh, wait, I missed a few. Yay.
Good job.
The Settlers New Allies has been delayed indefinitely for console. That was supposed to release this week.
Yeesh, that's not good.
What's this game?
The Settlers New Allies. It's like, I think it's a city builder style game. Oh, it's not something I play.
I have no idea what it is.
Yeah. Let's turn it around. Let's get some happier news going on. Lego 2K Drive was announced. It is an open world racing adventure coming to Xbox, Switch, PlayStation, and PC May 19th. So it just announced and it's right around the corner.
Yeah, my kids are excited for that.
It looks pretty good. I wonder if it's going to try challenging Forza Horizon.
Maybe. I wonder if they're going to take away the DLC, like the Lego stuff.
I don't know. Probably. Well, when the game gets delisted, I'm sure it'll go away.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Is it even still up? Which Forza was that? Was that 4 or 3?
I thought they did Lego stuff for both of them, for 4 and 5.
No, one was Hot Wheels, one was Lego, and then it was back to Hot Wheels. So I guess 4 was Lego.
Forza Horizon Lego.
Zoids Assault, and yes, it was an Atlas.
Yep.
Yeah, it was for 4.
There you go.
Speed Champions.
So four still available, so you could still get the Lego stuff. There you go. Aki, news for you. Lord of the Rings Gollum is coming out May 25th.
That's why I can't wait for May. That if we don't get that it's for May, gonna be you, May, I will. I'll just buy that as a late day gift for myself.
Are they doing any kind of special edition for that?
I don't think so. Hmm. I haven't seen anything listing any of that. So I don't think so. I'd be shocked if they were. It's fucking Gollum.
Lord of the Rings related. Did you hear about the Magic the Gathering and Lord of the Rings set that they're releasing?
No.
No.
There is going to be a One Ring card. There is literally awesome. One of them.
Oh, not awesome. That's bullshit.
That is stupid. Yep.
Which I'm just like, oh, cool. So it's going to be like, it's just going to be sitting in some collector's pack because they're going to be too afraid to open it and ruin the value even more. Like, I've got like a handful of Marvel, like, God, when was it? I think it was 2011, 2012. Marvel did a thing where Stan Lee signed a bunch of issues, but the bag that they were in was black, and so you couldn't see on the cover. And so, you know, you either open it up, find out whether or not you got it, or you have to leave it and
never know.
And never know, and that's the only way it will ever be completely mint.
Yeah. Good. Enjoy what you buy. Speaking of buying things, if you have some spare money, Enter the Gungeon has a House of the Gun Dead arcade game for sale, and anybody with a spare $6,000 can buy it.
Oh, well, you know, I just have that lying around in my couch.
Yeah, it is a full-size arcade cabinet with light guns, and it's an all-new game. House of the Dead-style Gungeon game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Lloyd's like, let me get my wallet. We're all going to visit Lloyd later this year. Code Vein, Control, and Sonic Frontiers have all passed 3 million units.
Wait, what? I heard Sonic Frontiers. What was the other one?
Code Vein and Control.
Okay.
That's nice.
Cool. Yep. I mean, although Control's been out for like...
It's fantastic.
Hey, it made 3 million. No. It made it.
Okay.
It took a while, but it made it.
I was going to say, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
I really can't wait for them to make a second one. I want more Faden.
I hope they find a way to make the 2 the R, so it looks really stupid. Speaking of 2s, Valve has officially announced Counter-Strike 2 is releasing this summer, and a limited test is happening currently. If you're a big player on the original Counter-Strike on Steam, you have a shot at getting into the test. I know Carnage is very, very excited about this one.
So what's... Like, so what exactly is happening with it? Like, is the original Counter-Strike still going to be running?
There's no information as of yet.
Because like, I'm just like, I mean, I bought Counter-Strike for Xbox right before they delisted it. And now I'm just like, cool, like, great. Does this mean I have to, like, play a shit ton of, like, Battlefield and Counter-Strike games this summer? Like,
yeah.
I think Counter-Strike on 360 has bot matches, though, doesn't it? Carnage is saying Counter-Strike 2 will be a free update for Counter-Strike Go.
Oh, cool. So they're going to update my 360 game, no. Carnage? That doesn't answer my question.
For 360, nothing's going to change. This is PC.
Gotcha.
Yeah. What kind of news do you chuckle fucks have?
Oh, God. Oh, you're asking me for news. Shoot.
Hockey, what news do you have? You start.
My news is going to be the Golem thing, but, you know.
Why are you so terrible?
Hey, I had one piece, okay? Fuck you.
To be fair, that's more than you had, Jacob.
Yeah. And I was really excited for my piece. You're very rarely ever even emotionally invested.
You're only ever emotionally invested when it's Sonic movie news.
Sonic movie. You think it annoys me, and it doesn't.
Well, the only news I seem to have is that the Return to Silent Hill movie has its cast, and it's going to, I think it's supposed to ignore the second movie and just be a direct sequel to the first one.
I don't know if I like that or not, because the second movie was not shit. Great.
No, it was shit. It was shit.
But like, but there were some really interesting moments in that movie.
Like when the credits rolled? Like,
well, that was one of them, yes, but...
Like, honestly, like, the movie, like, I just remember, like, because I was super excited. I went to go see it opening night in 3D.
Oh, wow.
And I just walked out of there like, wow, that was you crap.
Dumb especially, bastard.
Like, I saw it on TV because like, I'm smart.
The big thing was that it was in 3D, and that's back in the day when I, like, had free time and, you know, tons of money to burn before I had kids.
Back before you did the dumb. Okay.
No, I was dumb then too. but
fair enough.
Yeah, like the movie ends with a fight between Pyramid Head and like
female
Carrie Ann Moss. Basically. Like, yeah, and it was just
I liked that. I thought it was fantastically stupid. It was great.
The only part that I remember liking is when they were in the it was with the not waxwork, but
I know what you're mannequins, talking about now.
The mannequins, and like, you know, there's randomly a girl in there who's like, "Oh my god, shh, they're gonna hear you," and then she immediately dies and gets turned into a mannequin. I thought that scene was pretty cool, but everything else in the movie just pretty much sucked.
Yeah, the plot was terrible, just fucking terrible, but there were some cool moments in it. So I kind of wish they'd continue on from that and try and make sense of that piece of shit, just because that would amuse me.
Oh god, that sounds like a waste of money.
And I also want female Pyramid Head.
I mean, what they need to do at this point, like Hollywood in general, needs to stop remaking good movies. Get the bad ones and try making them good.
So Double Dragon?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic movie. Fuck, no, it wasn't. Guys. Oh, no, yes, it was. I loved that movie.
You're literally the first. All right. So did you like it, like, actually like it, or like it ironically?
Oh, I loved that movie. But I was eight?
Yeah, you were a kid. Maybe? Okay. All right. There we go. There we go.
That was a fantastic movie. I also really liked the live-action Mario movie.
Again, I love DOA. I was like
six.
Yeah, DOA, honestly, that is probably my favorite.
Hockey, tell me you've seen DOA.
No.
Oh, my God.
You gotta.
I've never seen it.
You gotta.
Okay.
Like, and the worst part is,
you have to watch
it
for the fan service alone. You'll love that.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
It is only PG-13, so you're not getting nips anywhere. But there are some fan service-y moments in there.
Yeah, with Christy, in her, like, first minute.
The cover box of it already shows someone in a bra, so I'm already pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I think that's Christy, actually.
Sure, I totally know who these characters are. I've never played one of the games either.
You know, for a game that is as much based on beat physics, you'd think you'd be all over the Dead or Alive series.
Yeah, I was always more of a Virtua Fighter and Soul Calibur fan. Those were really I played.
All right. I mean, I get you on Soul Calibur, but I mean, like, honestly, you should probably just. Ivy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Ivy. Honestly, I'm surprised, like, you just don't buy, like, DOA and just put it on, like, Battle Theater and just, like, watch, like, the women go at it.
That I would feel the need to get all the achievements, and fighting games aren't my forte.
That's okay. That's fair.
And just get Extreme Beach Volleyball on the original Xbox and leave it at that.
Oh my god, I regret.
Don't have the original Xbox.
I regret selling my copy of Extreme Beach Volleyball too. I wish I hadn't.
I didn't know there were more than one of them.
They only made two of them.
Oh. Yeah, I always wanted those games, but never had.
I don't even want to know how much that game costs now.
A lot, I'm sure.
God. DOA Extreme 2. Oh gosh.
Volleyball's like $50. 26 okay. bucks.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's not that bad.
There's one with the rare lenticular art piece for $65.
Wait, whoa. They made a Dead or Alive Extreme 3 for the Switch?
Not Extreme Beach Volleyball. Perfect. It's just Dead or Alive Extreme.
Wait, what's...
They got rid of the volleyball.
Oh, yeah, it's back to fighting game.
So it's... Wait.
Extreme 3 is on PlayStation as well. It's on PS4, PS Vita.
But it's just a fighting
game. No, it's just girls in bikinis. Beach.
Wait, yeah. Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
That's how the fuck don't you know about Dead or Alive Extreme, Aki?
PlayStation and Switch, that's why...
But it's boobs. How don't you know about it?
Jeez, Amazon wants $76 for that game. Good lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't use Amazon.
I mean, to be fair, I bought my Zoids Assault and they cost me like $90 off of Amazon back
don't
when I bought
Amazon
it.
Don't use Amazon for used games.
Nintendo.
It wasn't used. Use eBay. Use Mercari. I got that brand new. Not so much.
Stop mumbling into the mic, Aki.
I bought it brand new. That's why it cost so much.
That's your own fault, then.
Yeah, well, that was back when I was still buying a lot of physical games, and I prefer to buy those brand new because I know they're in good condition.
Dead
just
or
like
alive,
I spent like
Extreme
70 on the first
Fortune Collector's Edition.
Oh, God. All right.
I have found Dead or Alive, the movie. All right. I will watch it after.
All right. You need to. I mean, essentially, it's just Enter the Dragon with Dead or Alive characters, much like the first Mortal Kombat movie, except DOA is way, way better, in my opinion.
Comes with a mouse pad.
Okay, your opinion. Christ. Okay.
All right. Should we get to reviews?
Sure.
Totally. Yeah, or do you have any more news, Jacob?
Nah, I'm good.
You good? You ready to get to these? All right. First game to talk about tonight is Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse, developed by Koei Tecmo Games, published by Koei Tecmo America, released March 9th. Released March 9th on Xbox One, Series X, and S. Aki has me thinking May. It's her fault.
It's gonna be May.
I accept that. I accept that.
Okay, release March 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $49.99. A group of children mysteriously disappeared during a festival on Rigetsu Isle. Although they were found, they had lost their memories. Now that they've returned to the island as teenagers, the girls rely on the Camera Obscura, a camera with the power to capture and seal away unthinkable horrors in the faint beam of their flashlight while exploring various locations and fending off the ghosts that attack them as they attempt to discover the truth of their haunting past. Aki, what is going on in Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse?
Okay, so in this, you start off as two girls entering this long abandoned psychiatric hospital because, you know, crazy people, crazy island, bad things happen, ghosts. Obviously, it all makes sense. And they are searching for answers because two of their friends, two out of the five girls, have recently died, with their hands covering their face, and they just know it has something to do with this island somehow, some way, because they think it has something to do with that period of time when they lost their memory, when they went missing. So they travel to this island and then get split up because, of course, then one of them finds a Camera Obscura, and the game starts. And ghosts are assholes. And this game puts you in a bunch of fights in very, very tight quarters. So they're very difficult to fight. Then you switch to another character, the last of the five girls, who comes in search of the other two idiots who came here and didn't fucking bring her, even though her family has a Camera Obscura and she knows how to use it and therefore is useful. so she goes looking for these two fucking morons. And you switch between these two throughout different chapters. You play one chapter as one, then one chapter as another. And she's basically trying to figure out what's going on while the other two girls are trying to just survive. They're trying to figure out how not to die, like their two other friends did. So they're just trying to figure out what's going on so they can survive, whereas the fifth girl is there trying to figure out all her memories. She's trying to figure out what actually happened. Not seemingly too particularly concerned about the concept of dying for some reason. So, you know, that's not odd at all. And then you get introduced to another character and a new weapon that isn't a camera, which is very fucking weird. You get introduced to basically the detective who was the guy who happened to find the five girls after they went missing in the first place. He sent there to bring back that fifth and last girl who showed up there because her mom's like, no, I don't want her there. Go get her. Go get her and bring her back, please. So he's there to do that, and the mom gives him a special flashlight instead of the Camera Obscura. You shine the flashlight and then you pull the trigger, and apparently it gets really bright or something and hurts the ghosts, which is interesting because it's not a camera, which is what these games are supposed to be about. So that was a very interesting experience for me. And yeah, you switch between these characters. I think there might be one other character that you occasionally flip to, but I don't know who it is. because I haven't seen them quite yet. And yeah, you go through here, you collect items after you figure out where they are, because you have to shine light your flashlight, because everyone has a flashlight. You shine it when there's this little blue meter that's over in the right-hand lower corner of your screen, and it'll suddenly glow blue if there's an item near you for you to pick up. So you have to turn and look and try and get your flashlight to hit it so that it'll start flashing so you can actually pick it up. Which is, you know, not obscenely infuriating whatsoever. Totally just the best thing. If you can't hear the dripping sarcasm, I am sorry, I'm not good at it. I hate that mechanic. I don't know how many times I've sat there just trying to find an item because it's blue. Because it'll do it when you're facing the general direction of the item. However, something the game doesn't tell you is it might also be on the other side of the fucking wall you're facing, too. And then you have to figure out how to fucking get over there, but you don't know that it's over there because it's sometimes hard to just get to show up. It's a whole fucking thing. The game's really fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, just like I did the first game. This one is a little bit shorter, apparently, by about 5-ish hours, both in standard play and 100% completion times. It's easier to get points in this game, in my opinion, because there's a lot more ghost fights. So you rack up points significantly faster. The main problem is, again, you're in pretty tiny rooms constantly, or in hallways constantly, which is very bad places to fight the ghosts, because they can walk through fucking walls and stuff, and you can't take pictures of them. Yeah, but you can't get pictures of them, and you have to have the camera focused on them for a period of time in order to do any damage to them with the picture. So it gets kind of tough to fight them. It's not scary fighting them. It's just very hard to fight them in these tight areas.
Something we might have to take into consideration is I believe this was made originally as a Wii U exclusive.
It was.
So yeah. I'm assuming they had limitations technically on what they were able to do with the game back then.
Oh, I'm sure.
In the golden age of 2008.
Yeah, it's just a shame, because I know in Maidens of Blackwater, which was the game that was remade or whatever before this one, there were lots of wider open areas.
Yeah.
So it was a lot easier to fight the ghosts, and now everything's in, like, here's a bedroom, and now you have to fight a ghost, and it's very hard to get out of the way and
fall focus on them
long enough to actually do any real damage to them. So it becomes a very difficult game at that point. And I'm playing it on easy, and it's still fucking hard as balls. I don't know if they've did any updates to the cutscenes. And the reason I say that is because they're so grainy that they hurt my head to watch, because they hurt my eyes. So I don't know if they've updated those at
probably
all
not. I know a lot of remakes, the original cutscenes usually still look like the original cutscenes.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
I remember playing, what was it, Mark of Cree on PS4, and the game looked stunning. It's like a live-action Disney game from PS2. It looked amazing. The cutscenes nice. Would pop up, and they were blocky and pixelated and fuzzy. Dude, and
they were naff.
Oh, at 480i.
My soul hurts.
Yeah.
But when you're fighting ghosts or taking pictures of the other random ghosts that aren't trying to kill you, you get points, just like you do in, I believe, all of the games. And you can use these anytime you go to a save point. You can use these to buy costume items. Of course, those are the first things I bought because I'm me. But you can also spend it on the next better version of film. Can't buy the strongest, apparently, or at least not yet in the campaign that I'm at. You can also buy some healing items, and you're going to fucking need them, because, again, those fights are fairly difficult since they're in such small rooms. And there's also some other extra things you can buy that I'm not going to talk about. the points in this time aren't actually used to upgrading your cameras. They were in Maidens of Blackwater. You use the points to upgrade all your camera skills and everything. And this, you instead find blue and red crystals. Blue ones upgrade base abilities, and red ones upgrade whatever lens you want to upgrade. So, like, there's, like, a blast lens that does extra damage to ghosts. There's a stun one that causes them to get knocked back some when you take a picture of them, et cetera, et cetera. There's other ones as well, but I'm not going to talk about those. There's also one other thing that I think is kind of sad, is that in Maidens of Blackwater, previous game, after you finished a level, you could just replay that level. You could just keep doing that as long as you damn well wanted. You could replay it 50 times in a row. They don't give a shit. In this game, you can't. You play through the entire game. Then you can start New Game Plus and play through it again. And you can keep doing that, but you can't go back to the to a specific level, which kind of sucks because in all of these games, there's take a picture of every ghost, take a picture of all the revenants, take a picture of all the wraiths, etc., etc. And if you miss one, you now, if you make a save afterwards, because it's hard to capture some of them because they move real quick, then, well, now you have to play through the entire game and get right back there and hopefully remember that that fast little fucker is there so you can get a picture of it, hopefully on your second playthrough, or you're going to have to play through it a third time. And that kind of sucks. I would have liked to have been able to replay individual levels like I could in Blackwater, because that for me is really fun, being like, oh, I missed some of these ghosts. Let's see where they are in some walkthrough or something, and just go right back through while I still have that level kind of in my head and know generally what I need to do, and just try and get them, and just keep doing that until I get them all. And once I get them all, next level it is! That's how I like to play the game. I think that's, for me, that's more fun. So it's kind of a shame they don't have that, but other than those few problems, I really enjoy this game. I think it's really fun. The characters run really, really slowly, which is kind of to be expected in these games, because they're older. So if you don't like them running at the speed to which you walk, you may not like this game.
Well, the but game's sitting at $50. What are your thoughts?
I think it's worth buying. I really enjoy it. I understand why these were all the rage when I was in high school. I get it now. These are fantastically fun games.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, next up is The Tale of Onogoro, developed and published by Amada KK, released February 22nd on PS5 for the PSVR 2 for $34.99. A grand adventure depicting the bond between you and Haru awaits in this uniquely Japanese VR action adventure. This is a PS5 version of a PS4 game that originally came out. It is a first-person puzzle adventure action game. You start off in a room with a girl chained to a stone, and you have magical guns that can lift this stone and move it around and interact with various objects in the world, and you have to basically solve various puzzles, whether it's shooting and collecting energy and shooting an orb to open a gate, and then set the girl over there to activate another gate. You'll run into enemies during levels that you just got to pop them with an energy shot and they go away. The puzzles are okay. There's nothing that's really blowing my mind in this game. Visually, it is a treat on the PSVR 2. It looks crisp. It looks clear. All of the issues I had visually the Dark Pictures game, Switchback, there it is. All the issues I had with Switchback with, like, graininess and, like, the screen door effect, all of that is gone in this. It is crystal clear, the animation is beautiful, it's a really bright, colorful game. It's a treat for the eyes. It's not the most beautiful, like artistically, it's not the most stunning and detailed art out there, but it's simplistic enough to feel like you're interacting with it. I don't know how it feels natural. Like it feels right. I don't know. It's weird. VR is fucking weird, by the way. I don't know if either of you have played VR at all, but VR is a trip when you're really getting into it. Have either of you played VR?
I mean, a couple of times, but like, I don't ever see myself getting into it.
No.
Like,
I would love to play them, but obviously I can't.
True. That is, I didn't think about that. This game is very slow. That's my biggest gripe right off the bat. You can't really quickly skip through text. You have to wait for them to slowly talk to you deliberately at a slow pace while it puts you to sleep and you get tired. It's not a very fast-paced game. It's very slow, very deliberate, and borderline boring, at least in the very beginning. It does pick up as the game progresses, with more complex puzzles, more enemies to take care of. There's hidden collectibles that you can find in stages, little glowing orbs you got to shoot. You can get rated on the stages up to 3 stars, depending on how quick you are, depending on what you find. So there is replayability in that. They have a lot of assists in the game in terms of camera placement, camera movement. I think the movement and the turning is a little too quick. If you lower it down, it gets easier to deal with. I did get a little bit of motion sickness playing this one. I had to stop a few times while I was playing to like just take the headset off and catch my breath and get a drink of water and just not throw up. Overall, it's a cute game. I don't know if I would drop $35 on this one if I had a VR. I don't see a lot in this game that couldn't be done in a flat game. Like, I could see this being fairly easily ported to flat screen. It doesn't feel like it would take a lot to make it work without VR, but you know, there could be something I'm missing later on in the game that I didn't get to, unfortunately. My apologies to the developers and the publishers. I have a pinched nerve in my neck and my left arm has been near useless for about 2 weeks now. So that's been fun. I blame you, Jacob.
For what?
You know what you did?
No, I don't. I haven't been anywhere near you for months. So whatever you did to pinch the nerve in the one arm,
nope,
while it was all you were thinking about,
oh my, while you
were thinking about me, that's your own business, man. Like, you had a VR headset on, and then suddenly you have a pinched nerve in your arm. Like, who knows what you were watching on that VR headset?
Just wait until you see what I'm working on for the show, by the way.
Oh no.
Yeah. It involves your face. Anyway, this
does
game.
Does the word prolapsed come up?
No. Tales of Onogoro, at $35, I would give it a try. I wouldn't make it the first game I would buy to show off a PSVR 2. I still think that Synth Riders is my top game on the PSVR 2 right now. That and What the Bat. We didn't get that one for review, but What the Bat is incredible. That game is just ridiculously fun. If you played What the Golf on iOS, or I believe it's on Switch, it's just ridiculous fun. But Onogoro, try it. It's decent. Next game is Witchcrafty, developed by Pigeon Dev, published by Sometimes You, released March 24th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $9.99 each. Yes, achievement stacks are there, so you got 3 achievement stacks, which, you know, getting out of hand, but whatever. Something strange is happening in the kingdom. The forests are filled with predatory plants. The peace-loving people have taken up arms against each other, and goblins were noticed in the deep mines. The little witch has to start her journey in search of truth and answers. Who is behind all these events? Should you just trust strangers along the way? And who stole the witch's mail? Jacob, what's going on in Witchcrafty?
So in Witchcrafty, you are playing this little witch, there's no other way to put it, who slept through an attack on the village, and it turns out that goblins were responsible. But goblins usually keep to themselves, so what's up with that? Well, because the village is all messed up, it's actually up to you to figure that out. So Witchcrafty is a Metroidvania platformer, and what it is in this game is that there are different areas for you to move about in, with apparently a boss at the end of each one. Now, I never made it to the end of the first one, because this game is exceedingly difficult. And it's not that it's a bad game. I mean, there very well is a chance that I just suck. However, I'm going to go with there's some issues with the game on this one. So as I said, what it is that you're moving through each level, and not only are you just moving through there and just, like, you know, whacking everybody that, you know, comes across your path and attacks you, but you also have to talk to various people, and some people are going to give you items, some people are going to give you information, some people are there just to talk to and, like, hey, how you doing? That's fine. But the real thing is that you are trying to find out what is causing all this upheaval in the forest. And the game at first takes your hand, and it's going very nicely. It's like, this is what you need to do for jumping, and this is your attack, and this is how you do a dash. All the standard, you know, stuff that you would expect from a platformer. And then all of a sudden, it'll just start ramping up the difficulty with attacks that essentially can't be unblocked. And normally this wouldn't be an issue, except the save points in this game are so few and far between that you almost just don't want to advance. Or, like, if you do, you're just going to do baby steps the whole entire time. And I'm going to tell you, it is really frustrating when you're going through a level and you haven't, like, you haven't been anywhere near a save point for a while, and you have upgrades and you have items that you've just collected, and it took you a while to collect these things, and some of the, even areas that you weren't able to get through before. Well, it's a while before you even get an upgrade for your health. And so trust me, in this game, you're going to be dying a bunch. And when you finally do die, the game just spits you at whatever last save point you were at. And if that save point was the original village where you first started, well, screw you. You have to start all over again. And it is like this throughout. And honestly, it just gets really frustrating, especially when you're trying to, like, jump over, like, large pits of spikes and other normal stuff that you're going to find in platformers, or, you know, just, like, attacks that you just can't dodge. Like, I mean, there is, like, this one wizard who shoots out, like, a few lightning bolts. And it doesn't matter, like, either way, you're just going to get hit by that third lightning bolt no matter what you try. And so it just gets really frustrating as you get through, like, you know, you're trying to jump over, like, you know, whether it's somebody's attack, whether it's a bunch of spikes. And the jumps, even though you're pretty sure you hit it before, you know, well before you should have had to, you know, it just doesn't seem like the character either just doesn't want to jump or just doesn't jump far enough, like, compared to previous jumps that you had done. And it's just, I don't know, like, it's a very cute game. I like the pixel art style, but this game starts getting on, like, a Battletoads level of challenge that I find it to be more annoying than charming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, it's not bad. Like, it's got a lot going for it, but for the love of God, there needs to be way more save points in this game. it's just, unless they're going to slab, or unless they're going to slap, like, roguelite on it, you know, unless they're going to add that title to it, then they need to be adding more save points and making it not as intentionally difficult as this.
What about roguelite? That's about randomization and stuff.
I always thought randomization, but I thought it was also, like, you lose all your stuff after you die.
I mean, lots of games you lose all your stuff when you die.
Well, some, but
anyway. In this, you just go back to your last save point, don't you?
Yeah, but, and hopefully your last save point isn't, like, the initial village.
Roguelike, if you died, it's game over.
Okay, well, yeah. Then, like, sorry. My bad.
Anyway, so, the game. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I was going to be getting to that part. So.
Okay, well, the game is $10 on Xbox One, $10 on Series X and S, and $10 on Windows 10. Each has a unique achievement list. Which would you go for?
I would go with a try it. Like, there's stuff that has to be fixed in the game, and I have read what previous versions of the game have done, and it doesn't seem like a whole lot has changed between those, so I'm guessing that the devs are just like, it's done. This is how we want it to be. So, if you're in for an extreme challenge, then yeah, go ahead and try it. But if you are somebody like me who is just hoping for an enjoyable, chill platformer, that's not going to be found here. Do not be deceived by the cute pixel art.
Cool. All right. Next up, The Forest Cathedral, developed by Brian Wilson. Published by Whitethorn Games, released March 14th on Series X and S and Steam for $14.99. The Forest Cathedral is a first-person environmental thriller set on a remote island. Playing as scientist Rachel Carson, players will slowly uncover the effects of DDT by using advanced environmental technology to solve 2D, 3D connected puzzles and this dramatic reimagining of Silent Spring. Aki, you played this one, and then our friend Andy Sperry also covered this one and wrote in a review. Let's start with him, and then you can fill in the blanks. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Andy writes in, The Forest Cathedral, developed by Brian Wilson and published by Whitethorn Games, is a bite-sized environmental thriller inspired by the works of Rachel Carson and her book entitled Silent Spring. Silent Spring was the driving force behind tighter control of pesticides in the U.S. and details the harmful effects pesticides have on organisms beyond their targets. DDT is the main focus of The Forest Cathedral, and I'm just going to throw in, it's not Jake the Snake Roberts for all our wrestling fans. It's not that DDT. The main character of The Forest Cathedral is none other than Rachel Carson herself, controlled by the player. The goal of the game is to gather information on the effects of DDT on a controlled island environment. Information is gathered while using a device known as the IRGB, which scans the environment and leads the player through a small portion of the island. Explore or follow a red line on the screen to platforming style minigames where you control the little man through various puzzles, avoiding spikes and creatures relating to the current area of research. The use of 3D environments to 2D platforming was an interesting incorporation, but there wasn't much to do in the 3D environment besides trek to the next terminal. The platforming ramps up quickly in difficulty, and the controls feel unresponsive and finicky, both on a controller and a keyboard. This led to some frustrating situations that were gameplay based. Aside from making your way to the next platforming station, there are various cutscenes involving Rachel and two other characters, one of whose relation to Rachel is unclear, that deliver the information discovered and drive the main storyline behind the game. These cutscenes are so frequent, it felt more like watching a presentation than playing a game.
Fucking yeah!
Thank you so much, No Time, for the 45-month sub.
Jeez, I am so sorry. Why would you do that to yourself?
That is way too many months, but we love seeing you here. Thank you for hanging out. Where was I?
I have no idea.
Aside from making your way to the next platforming station, there are various cutscenes involving Rachel and two other characters, one of whose relation is unclear. The cutscenes are so frequent it felt more like watching a presentation than playing a game, despite being coupled with some unnerving audio issues. The information on DDT was delivered successfully. I did learn quite a bit about DDT and its harmful effect on the environment while playing through the game. The Forest Cathedral brings the reports of Rachel Carson into an interactive world which can be completed in just over an hour. Games resonate with different people in different ways, and while The Forest Cathedral was informative, it didn't really resonate with me. Parts of the games weren't fully fleshed out, and the game was pretty short for the price point. Captured a glimpse of what the story could have been, but fell short on polish and performance. While I wouldn't recommend... can't talk. While I wouldn't recommend...
What are you going to wreck?
I wouldn't recommend... I just went southern on recommend. I wouldn't recommend The Forest Cathedral as your next game to escape into. I can easily recommend it as an alternate learning experience for DDT research. Rachel Carson truly is an environmental hero, and her book changed the world. If reading is low on your list, but you're interested in knowing more about DDT and interactive environment, try out the game for yourself. Aki, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so yeah, I don't think the platforming got particularly all that more difficult, namely because you can go into the settings at any time and be like, oh, turn off all the spikes, which gets rid of 90% of the way you're going to die. Make it to where you float down instead of just fall straight down, so that you can reposition yourself a little better while you're jumping, so you land on things. So platforming actually isn't particularly hard if you don't want it to be. It's mostly just walking from point A to point B, realistically. They are correct about that. There's like six little of these little 2D puzzle games, more or less, where you're puzzle platforming. And otherwise, it's just walking from one of those to the next one. Both of the people you talk to are, you know exactly who they are. One's your boss, and the other is your life partner, Dorothy. Then again, I don't know if it didn't seem like he knew who the characters were, so that it doesn't shock me that Rachel Carlson was a lesbian. So. So that was her girlfriend, her life partner. And yeah, this is a very over-dramatized, condensed alternative take on what happened. I think I kind of liked it. The platforming stuff was whatever. But I otherwise rather enjoyed the rest of the story. So I think it's worth, you know, the price of admission to go play it. Almost exclusively the reason why the EPA exists. So, like, legitimately, the Environmental Protection Agency, she's why it exists. So, I think any game about her is worth playing.
Nice. Well, the game is $15. If I had to read between the lines, I think Andy's sitting at a try it. What are your thoughts?
I think it's buy it on like a 50% off sale. I think that's asking an awful lot for something that's just a couple hours long and, again, is over-dramatized and doesn't really give you the full story or anything.
Mm.
Basically, it condenses, you know, her life to like a month of existence in her 30s, and she lived to be like in her 60s or something. So, I think buy it on a sale, but I think it's totally worth playing. I think it's a fun little game.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to clean mode for the rest of the show. Aki, just mute yourself. Okay. final game to talk about tonight is Peppa Pig World Adventures, developed by Patoon Studio, published by Outright Games. Released March 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Play in the bigger, wider world of Peppa Pig and bring your family into the story. Make pizza in Italy, walk on Hollywood Boulevard, climb the Eiffel Tower, and more on your world tour. Create your own unique and dazzling family home and discover more characters, quests, and fun than ever before. Jacob, tell us about your time with Peppa Pig World Adventures.
It's the game of the year.
Okay, for real now.
That's it. What? That's the review. It's the game of the year. Go off and buy it. Good night, everybody. Joe, start playing the music. Nobody else needs to release a video game this year.
I'm playing Resident Evil 4 tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm playing a bunch of other games throughout the entire year because I'm not a goober.
Yes, you're a goober. But anyway.
We're all right. Goobers. Anyway, so, what is Peppa Pig World Adventures? Tell us about the game.
So if you had played Peppa Pig or my friend Peppa Pig last year from Outright Games, what you're playing is essentially a series of events. You get to create a character based on multiple animal species, colors, clothing styles, and of course a nice fancy hat if you so choose. I was a big fan of the top hat this time. But So in this, you know, you get introduced to Peppa, your Peppa's new friend, and the same happens with this one too. And just amazingly enough, after you meet Peppa, it turns out you get to go on a cruise ship with her.
Oh,
like, yeah, I know. It's amazing. And
by the way, you mentioned you could be a different animal. I just want to point out, like, the store page says you could be a cat, a kangaroo, a goat, a donkey. So there's a wide variety of animals that you could be in this.
Yeah, it's
I'd be a cat.
You what?
I would be a cat.
I know.
Of course you would.
I know. My character was a dog. I forget what Silas, my youngest kid, I think
they went with a
rabbit. I think they went with a rabbit, but
maybe a fox.
I mean, I would classify that as a dog. I don't.
It's not a dog. Can you be a fox? It's a different animal.
I don't know. Anyway, so
be a kangaroo and be happy, Aki.
Yeah. So you get to go to various locations in the world, such as London, which honestly don't think about that part too much because essentially you're taking a cruise ship from Peppa's house to London. I don't think that is exactly how that geography works, but you know, it's a kid's game. Let's not question it. But you can also go to New York City, Hollywood, Australia, Germany, and Barcelona and Paris. And I think I've listed everything. I'm not entirely sure. So anyways, you get to go to these different areas and there are various activities you can do, such as in Germany, you can go decorate a Christmas tree. You can also ride a train there. In Barcelona, you can take a look at some of the architecture and do various fun things there. New York City, you can go check out... What is it? You get to drive a taxi cab and then...
And deal with New York traffic.
Yeah, it was slow traffic too. But of course, the thing that everyone is talking about is London, because that is where you get to meet the Queen, which of course is some people were very surprised by this, myself included, because I'll be honest with you, I don't watch Peppa Pig. My youngest kind of watches it, so like I'm vaguely familiar with it. But so in this one, you get to meet the Queen and you do various things with her. You get to jump in mud puddles with her. She drives a double decker bus that gives you a tour of London, because this is totally a thing that the Queen does. And a couple of various activities. And then at the very end of it, there is a nice little memorial thing for it. And at the very end of the game, there's also an explanation as to why this was still included, which of course has all of us, you know, all of us who weren't familiar with Peppa Pig, you know, are a little caught off guard. But then I had been reading other comments from people who, you know, unfortunately, you know, their kids watch this show. And they were like, yeah, this is actually more of like a greatest hits of the show of like Peppa going internationally. And back for the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, this was a thing. And so it makes sense that this is included, which, okay. I mean, it seems out of character for me, but at the same time, my five-year-old is not complaining that this is out of character for Queen Elizabeth II. So, you know, adults may be like, this doesn't quite make sense. My five-year-old is having a blast with it. there have been some issues with it, but outright, like, has been quick to issue patches and stuff, and they're working on some of them. But nothing, like... I only found one time that there was ever a game-breaking issue in it, and it was just when my youngest had created a character, and when it started up in the tutorial section, for whatever reason, the tutorial actually didn't start, so my son's character was stuck in, like, this weird, like, grassy meadow that just, you know, like... You couldn't go, like, you could only go so far left and so far right, and, like, there was no speech activated, you couldn't jump in the mud puddles, you couldn't do anything, but then deleting the character file, and then just making a new character fix the issue, so it's kind of a whatever with it. But yeah, it's an alright game. It's, like, it's very, like, you know, it's a bunch of small activities. It doesn't feel like there was as many activities to do as in My Friend Peppa Pig. However, these activities that you do get to do seem like longer vignettes. So it's a weird trade-off where it feels like you're not doing as much in this game, but at the same time, you're still playing it for a pretty decent amount of time in terms of a game like this. And my youngest has been repeatedly going back and visiting different areas over and over again. Big fan of the Hollywood section. But yeah, so honestly, like, if you're 35, I'd be like, and you're buying this for yourself and not your kids, I'd be a little suspect on this, you know. But you know, for a 5-year-old, this is a perfect, like, for a kid who's like 3 to 5, this is a perfectly fine game. Like, it's not much. Like, it's, I mean, it's not like it's going to be like a Mega Man or a Mario game or something like that, but it's a nice, peaceful activity that's also generally quiet, you know. And
is it a solid sequel?
You know, it is.
Does it live up to the high standards of the prequel?
It is as good, if not better than the previous one in the series. So obviously, we need to get Peppa Pig Tokyo Drift so that we can complete this trilogy. But fingers crossed that outright releases that.
Peppa Pig Tokyo Drift. Oh my. Oh heavens. Good heavens. All right. That is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Let's keep it clean through the finale here. Do what we can. Thank you everyone for hanging out, joining the show. Aki, thanks for being here. Jacob, whatever.
Yeah.
Music this episode, we're gonna wrap things up with some more from the 1UPs. This time we're gonna play the Mii Channel theme.
Hold on, I don't think I ever actually said whether or not to buy the game, did I?
Oh well, $40. What do you say?
I do, but also as a side note, I'd like to say, like, I'd like to comment on something I found to be very funny in the Peppa Pig thing. That's really more of like an adult thing. So as you're going through everything, like, there's various souvenirs that you could pick up through the game, but also there's various activities where Peppa has to make things better. And as an academic, I'm just like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, this reeks of British colonialism. And Peppa's just like, this'll make a nice souvenir, as if she works for the British Museum. And I just, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was funny, a British kid going into foreign lands and just being like, yoink, I can do this better than you. I will decorate your Christmas tree as it should be, Germans. I loved it, but...
Oh, man. All right. We are done with this episode. As I said, thank you, everyone, for coming on, hanging out, joining us. Music, like I said, is the 1UPs. We're going to rock out to the Mii Channel because that's some thrash metal that we could all get behind, right?
I guess. Is it clean?
Yeah, it's the Mii Channel.
I don't know what that means. Oh, the Mii Channel. Oh. Yeah. No. I didn't think of M-I-I.
And this is how we got copyright strike.
No, we got copyright strike for you are...
Yeah, I was going to say.
That would have done it too, because we did see a lot of that.
And me also repeatedly going, it's going to be me.
That won't get us. Everyone does that.
Watts as it does.
Final words. I want it
that way.
Keeping the snort.